Hello and welcome to the Worn and Wound podcast. My name is Blake Bettner. Thank you for joining us today. I'm very happy to be joined by the one and only Zach Kazan in person today. In Brooklyn Podcasting Studio. Zach, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here. Great to be back in New York after a long pandemic-induced absence.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. That whole pandemic.
Yeah.
We are also joined by Zach Weiss. Zach, how are you doing? Welcome.
I'm doing good. Nothing special. I'm always here.
He's always here.
I haven't left Brooklyn in longer than you. Yeah.
We are also joined by our producer, Josh. Hey, Josh, how you doing?
Doing all right, man. How's it going?
All right, real well. It's a beautiful day here in Brooklyn, and we've got a really fun episode lined up for us today. Thanks to a lot of the contributions that you sent in. Thank you to everyone who participated in today's theme, which is movies and recasting watches in movies specifically. We've got some thoughts there. Before we get to that, let's jump into a wrist check. Zach Weiss, what are you wearing?
Wearing an Omega Speedmaster 352050, which is the Speedmaster reduced triple calendar that I wrote about some time ago. Yeah. It is now my only Speedmaster.
You seem to like that watch quite a bit.
I do like it. It took me by surprise when I got it, and it continues to be a unique joy in my collection. I feel like angry at myself for having not gotten into the reduced game earlier.
Okay. Yeah, we've all got a few watches like that, right? Yeah. That like kind of took us by surprise that we didn't really expect. Zach, Kazan, what are you wearing? And did it take you by surprise that you liked it?
I'm wearing the Tudor Pelagos LHD today. One of my go-to watches. I bought this watch initially several years ago and sold it and then missed it and bought it back.
LHD so both times?
Both times, okay. LHD.
Both times, yeah. All right. Love it.
That's kind of surprising, I guess, because I'm not usually one to rebuy watches.
But. What does the LHD stand for?
LHD is left-hand drive. Okay. So I'm a left-handed person. I wear my watch on my right wrist, and the crown is on the opposite side. But honestly, I don't think it really even makes much of a difference, really, in how it wears.
God, you're such a weirdo.
I always have the crown on the other side. So it's not unusual to me.
I wear my watch on the right wrist as well, and I like that the crown is on the right side, because when I like, what is this, moving my hand around,
flex your wrist,
it's not running into the crown right?
Well, I have to say, like, that is a thing that has ruined some watches for me, is how the crown kind of digs in that exact scenario. So I don't get this advantage of having more left side crowns for my...
You need an LHD to wear on your left wrist then.
Yeah, I need a watch meant for a left. We've had it reversed the whole time. It's always been wrong.
Josh, what are you wearing over there?
Well, as you guys know, I have like three watches, but what's it called? I was wearing my Seiko 5 SNK today, as always, my trusty Seiko 5. But sadly, the 5 on the face literally fell off today.
Just patina.
It's stuck in there, and surprisingly, it still has correct time. But
right, we'll chalk it up to some like crazy adventure.
Yeah,
surely.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Some rough and tumble. I am wearing... I've got a real blast from the past on today. This is a Prometheus Ocean Diver. You guys remember this watch?
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
8 years ago, 9 years ago, 10 years ago, maybe. I don't know.
Holds up.
It holds up. Yeah. So this is a watch that I had way back in the day. I was so excited about this watch. And then I let it go, just as you do in the journey of collecting, right? We've all been there. We've had a watch. Something else catches our eye. We get like crushes on watches, right? So you kind of move things around to get one. But then sometimes it's months later, maybe it's years later, you're like, it just creeps under your skin. It's like, yo, that watch is still there, and I need to have it back in my collection. So this was maybe a 8 or 10 year gap or something like that between me owning this. So I had a wanted to buy out on WatchaSeek for a long time for this watch, and the name of the user escapes me right now. But thank you to whoever you are. You set me up with this. He even had the T-shirt that came with it.
Yeah, wow.
he had the straps, the Prometheus T-shirt, like the whole full kit. So we've got it back here. It's an interesting one. It's got a internal rotating bezel with the crown at 2 o'clock that adjusts it. And there's something just kind of unique about the look of this watch that I kind of like. So we'll have more about this watch on the site pretty soon. Mm-hmm. It's a good watch. I don't know how closely these days it aligns with my identity.
Mm-hmm.
So do you guys know a person who like maybe owns a single watch, maybe three watches, but you associate that person with that watch, and that watch perfectly suits who they are. Do you guys know anybody like this?
I don't know.
No.
I feel like I don't, because the people who I associate with watch wearing are other watch people, and they all have like many watches.
Yeah. Okay.
So. Yeah. It's not like, you know, like there's photos of like a people with their dogs, and like sometimes you're like, that is literally that person as a dog, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like I don't get quite that same thing with watches so much, but
Well, what about movie characters?
Yeah, well, there you go.
Are there any movie characters that you associate specifically with a watch?
Well, I think what's interesting about this what we're about to go through, like, in the way at least I was thinking about it, is that, like, because these are characters and they're not real people, like, you can kind of, like, define them in really simplistic terms and therefore make a watch connection, I think, a little bit more easy, you know?
Yeah. I don't... You're right. We're weird people to be asking that question too, because we only hang out with other like weirdos that own a whole bunch of watches. But there is a person actually that came to my mind when I initially thought of this, and he is an actor, and he's worn this watch in many movies, and then you see him in pictures like just as a normal person, and he's still wearing that watch, and it's Robert Redford, and it's the same reference 1680. Vintage Submariner. Like All the President's Men, he wears it, and then you see him like in all kinds of photos like through decades, and he's still wearing that watch, and I like associate that watch with him now, and that also ties in nicely with theme today, because so I would argue that's a watch that like suits him as his character, because it suits mm-hmm. him as a real person as well.
It's his watch, I think.
It's
isn't
his
it?
Watch yeah which is cool.
I will say, like, and I'm not saying that is wrong, but like that is something that sometimes happens where like an actor will wear their watch in a movie, and then you're like, well, could that person have actually afforded that watch, or like would that really make sense for who they were? In the case of All the President's Men, like, you know, I don't know what that watch cost back then. Like, maybe it makes total sense. Like, I don't know his or because it wasn't the sub of that day isn't the sub of today. It wasn't
like the pure luxury jewelry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Triple market value to get a steel Submariner. So maybe it makes total sense that, like, you know, I don't know how old the character was at the time, but like mid to late 20s, probably journalist. Like, maybe that was totally logical.
Like,
you know,
like, late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah.
But his character is based on a real person who's still alive, Bob Woodward, right?
Robert, yeah.
So I guess we could ask. We'll have to tweet that.
We'll have to get Bob Woodward on the
Bob
podcast.
Woodward, if you're listening.
If you're not writing another book on Trump, which please do.
Yeah, please do. Yeah. Would you have worn a sub date, actually?
Red?
And it's a red sub date, so it's an early, prior to 3.2 million serials, if I have that correct, which I guess would fit with the timeline. Well, I'm going to get myself in a jail. I don't know the dates of all the and stuff exactly, so never mind that. But the point is, I think it suits him as a character, like Robert Redford.
So Robert Redford is a vintage Submariner.
He's the vintage Submariner guy.
Yeah.
Like, that before is, it was cool.
So you started off with the vintage sub. I was joking. Yeah. We could just say for every single character, vintage Submariner.
Yep, that was going to be the meme.
But you started, you got it. It is over. It is off the table.
Well, that's actually so we were talking about this earlier, and we were each going to think of. And if you're listening to this, you can do the same. You think of a character in a movie, and who has a watch on that you think fits that character perfectly. Maybe it's not their personal watch, and it's different than that. And I actually had something different in my head that just popped into my head as we were talking, the whole Robert Redford thing. But there is a movie that I felt that I came up with that I thought that watch suits that character in that movie, and I guess I'll just kick it off. It's Keanu Reeves in the movie Speed. He's wearing a G-Shock DW5600. He's a rough and tumble LAPD. guy, right?
Bomb squad.
Yeah, and he's wearing this the DW5600, which I think suits him perfectly.
Bomb-proof watch.
Yes, you see it like, you know, he's like pointing guns at people all through the movie and doing all kinds of like action type stuff.
They thought about that, because I mean, the whole the whole word shock and G-Shock isn't like there for effect. Like the watches are, I mean, we were literally just talking to Cassio the other day, and every single watch, they show you the exploded view.
This core thing.
And they show you, and like how it's about it. So you can see him, firing a gun is a good example. But then also like, you know, at least once or twice in that movie, a bomb goes off near him and he gets thrown against the wall, you know? And so that would definitely mess up a Patek.
Which is the thing that happens, I'm sure, right? Or and
Pretty sure. Like, if the LA bomb squad had enough bombs going off that they're getting thrown against, we'd hear about that. So
Be careful out there, you bomb squad people.
Yeah. What a great! I'm gonna rewatch that movie.
Yeah.
So great. Also like Dennis Hopper, Jeff, not Goldblum,
Bridges.
Yeah. And of course,
Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
This is a movie that came out maybe like 93.
It was maybe 93 or 94.
Yeah,
I saw that in the theater.
I'm gonna give, shout out my sister. Shout out to you, Sari. She loved this movie. I think she was somewhat taken with Keanu Reeves in the movie, as many young gals around her age, I'm sure, were at the same time. So incidentally, I ended up watching that movie a whole lot of times on, this would have been VHS back in the day.
It's a very watchable movie. It's just, it's perfectly paced, great action scenes. Wonderful 90s action movie.
Yeah. You made me immediately think, though, of a movie which wasn't originally on my list. Though, I feel like Keanu might have come up once or twice in here, but like Point Break, Johnny Utah.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
I don't know what watch he wears. What watch would he wear?
Which watch would
it's probably, and like, you know, I was saying this before too. Like, I don't know if we should limit ourselves to actually like what was available in like 93, 94, because whatever. Although, like, I'm sure he could have been rocking like a Quicksilver watch, which is like what the like FBI rubes would have put him in to make him fit in with the like surfer dudes. And then they would have broken it and been like, you have to wear a vintage Submariner like Robert Redford. You know?
Yes. It's going to come back to that the entire episode, just to warn you, listening. Zach Kazan, who did you come up with that has a watch in a movie that suits them perfectly?
So my mind immediately went to one of my favorite movies, which is where my mind often goes to when I think about movies, a movie I've talked to both of you about, Heat.
Oh,
classic. Mm-hmm. Al Pacino, Michael Mann directed crime thriller, L.A. crime epic. And Al Pacino wears a very distinctive Bulgari diagonal chronograph in that movie. And I just think it's perfect. And that's what I associate that watch with. And Zach, I've talked to you about this and how we both kind of associate that watch with different things. And like, that's what that watch always kind of like means to me, is that like that 90s action movie, and you associate it with something very, very different. But I think that it's like, for that character, it's kind of like a flashy, flamboyant, you know, LA detective who probably does some drugs and like cavorts with criminals when he shouldn't be.
The like behind the scenes with Al Pacino is more or less like he acted as though
High. Like it was movie, that right? was method acting for Al Pacino at the time, and that's just like such a perfect example of that in the 1990s wristwatch sphere. I think so. I always love seeing shots of that watch in that movie, and there's some good ones throughout it.
Props to you. That's an excellent pick.
Yeah. I like that. No, that is a really good, makes total sense. I honestly, I'd forgotten about that, and I was thinking, because there's other Al Pacino characters that are in my mind for this conversation, but I know you liked Heat as well, so I was thinking, and I honestly had forgotten, but I was thinking it could have been like, in that same vein, like a Cartier that his ex-wife gave him that he somehow like, or like hides coke in or something. But yeah, the Bulgari looks like,
It just like it suits
him. Got it
so,
on Rodeo.
So perfectly, it's
like,
yeah, that's excellent. Zach Weiss, you got anything to follow that
up? Mine's going to be really, this is just generic, and I think agreeable, instead is Doc Brown wearing the Seiko digital stopwatch. I feel like, you know, and you know what's interesting? So Doc Brown actually wears multiple watches in that movie, and he also, back in time, you know, when he's in the 50s, he's wearing a different watch. Obviously, he's wearing a Seiko digital, but, you know, the Seiko digital is... it's perfect because it was this model, and I'm forgetting the reference numbers, whatever. It's like the A something or other.
Yeah.
Because it had a separate trigger for starting it. So it was like this fast, you know, what you'd actually use on a track, but then you think about his character and the fact that he's doing experiments. And like that is just like the logic, like it's the right choice. Like you could see him as a character shopping and being like, that's what I need because I have to do these things. I'm going to send my dog into the future, which is cruel. And
yeah, what's up with that? That Doc Brown chill.
But then in like the 50s, I think he's wearing like a Helbros or something like that, which is just like kind of a nice looking classic sort of era.
That whole movie is well cast. Somebody wrote in, Brodinky. Wait a minute.
The Brodinky.
Wrote in Marty McFly.
Yeah.
Who's also wearing, I would argue, a very well suited watch, right? A digital Casio.
The calculator watch.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, if there's one character, it'd be Marty McFly.
So that had already come to your mind before we started talking.
Yeah, that was the first one that came to mind for me.
So that's effective, right? Yeah. So and this also shows that like they did their, like they didn't just like slap some watches on. Yeah. They like thought about the character, like what for would these people be wearing?
But we could go further if we wanted to and say, so then part two, which is a future that we have now passed.
Yeah.
So like now we can cast that watch. Like what would, and he was a loser, the adult Marty McFly at that point, you know, like I don't know what would be there though. A Bulgari? No.
Shots fired.
I'm not sure, but I was thinking about that with Doc is like what watch would the future version, but he'd probably be wearing the same watch because they're bouncing between time. I don't know.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Don't have to overthink this. Get into a time loop here. Paradox.
Okay, so those are some good ones that we feel like were well suited, and we got some suggestions written in by you listeners that I would argue are also pretty well suited. Somebody CG21115 Tom Cruise in the Mission Impossible movies, and he wears I feel like I always bring this watch up on I swear I like other watches too. The Tudor Heritage chronograph. This is before these were available in the U.S. That like gray or black dial with the gray accents and the like home plate design for the subdials. He wore that in one of them. Maybe part three.
I can't remember.
Maybe it was that the one that kind of like went dark a little bit was Philip Seymour Hoffman.
And that's my favorite of the movies.
I think that was it. And I would say that's pretty good. That feels like it suits him. It's a
it's an interesting choice though. I mean
robust. He's gonna be needed to like time things, right? But the screw down pushers.
They're absolutely gonna get in the way. I mean, so I kind of wonder what if that was a product tie-in at all, given the scale of the movie. But granted, Tudor wasn't back in the U.S. then, and it probably was. So or if that was just
maybe that
Tom
was to
Cruise.
Build up hype for their eventual return. But it also maybe it just was his.
It could have been
watch.
But if I were to cast because these are super trained soldiers, ultimately, my mind would run towards something like some sort of Sin EZM watch or U-1000, or I think it's the EZM-13.
Yeah.
I forget, that has is a Destro dive watch chronograph that has been stripped away a little bit, so it's got a 60-minute counter on it, and it's very tactical looking. But I don't know.
That'd be a good stealthy watch.
But something in
that Tudor is super thick too.
It's just
if he's going under trip wires and trip lasers, I guess. Yeah. It's going to catch a laser, right?
He's tegumenting.
Tudor's a weird choice, I think, the more I think about it for that movie, because the modern Mission Impossible movies are so, techie, and, they're really kind of, a different strain, a James Bond type of movie. But, very modern tech, and that watch is such a throwback, so it's sort of a weird...
It is a throwback, mismatch.
But they're also, this one, I feel like it's kind of interesting if you think about it in terms of the characters, so in Bond, obviously the watches are coming from Q Branch, so it's given to him, he's not necessarily deciding. But I feel like in these movies, they're sort of decentralized and they're kind of called up out of nowhere, so it's sort of they take what they have with them. But I guess there is usually a guy in a van with tech for them, too.
Yeah, Ving Rhames.
But you're thinking like a Jason Bourne situation where they're literally islands that are called up.
It's Manchurian Candidate sort of situation. So we'll watch. Yeah. I guess it's less. It's sort of with Bourne.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm just imagining what would. I don't actually. Ethan?
Ethan.
What watch would he buy himself for it? So then, I don't know. Kind of.
I like the Sin.
Yeah, I feel that's good.
But Jason Bourne, that's another good one. That would be. I could see him doing something more like Seiko style. Anna Digi type thing for him,
Something PX,
something that he wouldn't be confused by looking in a safe deposit box that he's like forgot he had.
Boy, it's been a while.
How'd this get in here?
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen this. Maybe there is a watch in there.
I think
when he opens it up, there probably is.
Yeah, there might be.
Maybe it's a Bulgari.
I haven't seen the Bourne movies in a long time.
But I definitely think like he would not have anything flashy, and like it would probably have been something he had had in training. Yeah, so I mean, like, I think a Seiko is possible, but or some other, once again, G-Shock, like something you would get potentially on a base, you know?
Yeah.
Even if it's like a off the grid base where they still have a store.
Yeah.
How that works.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I think that's in the Mad Max thing is maybe, I don't know. There's a few like just action hero type.
But Mad Max is interesting.
But that's a different,
though.
Like, obviously.
This is post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
So, like, whatever watch he had, it would have been from when he was a cop before the fall or whatever, right?
What was he, LAPD? So he'd have had a G-Shock DW5600.
Yeah. A Sunto. Yeah. No. I don't know, but you know what I mean? Like, I feel like you wouldn't cast it for, like, the character in the future where he's, like, an action hero. It would be, like, some relic.
So I cast it just based on pure aesthetic, and the thing I went to was the Urwerk 105 T-Rex that Steve Halleck has on his site currently, who we spoke with on the podcast recently. That's a, I don't know, like, it the watch literally looks like the hide of a dinosaur, and it kind of, like, fits into that, like, post-apocalyptic sort of... you know, like back to the Stone Age steampunk aesthetic.
Yeah.
Mad Max has.
Are we talking Mel Gibson Mad Max also or Tom Hardy? Just whatever.
I have not seen either, so I don't know.
Oh, you gotta see the Tom Hardy.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, it's great.
But yeah, no, I definitely see that suits the aesthetic. Like, you wouldn't look at it and be like, that looks out of place, even if it's a high luxury watch,
right,
you know.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't, like, you wouldn't think about things in terms of like that's worth a lot of money or whatever. It would just be
Everything I mean, you know what? Cool. I mean, the collapse probably took it off a dead body anyway. Yeah. So,
sorry, Steve Halleck. He probably took it off Steve Halleck's wrist.
Oh man, poor Steve.
Sorry, Steve. There's a lot of like just kind of action. James Bond is one of them too. Full draw.
Does James Bond wear one?
this is the full draw wildlife. If the new James Bond wasn't wearing Omega Seamaster, what would he wear? I say a Rolex Daytona. I don't know. Well, I mean, obviously, like, he wore a Rolex Submariner in the early film. And Ian Fleming, I think, famously wrote that into the book. Like, in the literature, in canon, he wears a Rolex Submariner. And again, this is back before, like, you know, luxury jewelry Rolex, but, like, actual like... the advent of recreational scuba diving and all that kind of, like, it makes more sense in that realm now, I think.
Although it does kind of credit to, you know, Ian Fleming for sort of foreseeing where that watch maybe would go regardless of the association, you know, because, like, obviously there's the Playboy side to Bond as well, and like he is wearing a tuxedo in the 60s with a Submariner, you know, which is very on the point. And that's what I feel like with that character, where I, you know, thinking about the watch that he wears is kind of is interesting, because he does have to play that kind of demure guy as well. So
a watch that fits in, I guess fits in, like, throw that to the wind if he's like in a full-on tux with, like, you know, a ratty dive watch on a fabric strap. So I don't know. I don't, like, does the Daytona fit into that? I don't know. Like, these days, probably not, because it'd be too recognizable from a distance.
I don't know if it's discreet, though.
And
I
it's
don't know.
A pusher, like, screw down, so again, useless.
I don't know.
I feel like this is one of those watches that's just, like, perfectly cast already. And I mean, I honestly can't think of a better
than the sub or the Omega.
Well, for either, I think that both kind of work perfectly in their respective movies, you know, for the the earlier movies, I think the sub looks exactly right, and you know, in the newer movies, I think the Omega watches work great. I'm a personal fan of the Pierce Brosnan era James Bonds and those Brosnan Seamasters.
My dad has one of those.
They have a certain charm.
You can
to them.
Leave now.
those are great. The quartz,
the blue
one.
Wave.
Yeah.
My dad has one of those, and he actually bought the, like, women's version because it was smaller and he preferred a smaller watch. So it's like 38 millimeters.
So tiny.
I know. It's like a total, you know, but that's what he preferred. So that's a watch like I grew up around, so to speak. Yeah. But like
it was ubiquitous. Like it was just, it was on, you know, the advertisements were everywhere. Yeah. A lot of people own that watch. It was,
But that, I mean, also like Pierce Brosnan's Bond, I mean, even though really just GoldenEye though, because of the game and everything, like that was the Bond that I was at any, like most obsessed with.
Same.
You know.
Yeah, that's to me the Bond that I like, you know, grew up with, you know, for the most part.
There is also the Seiko Golden Tuna and Roger Moore era, I believe, a movie.
Yeah.
So the unexpected.
Right. He was a Seiko man.
Yeah, there was an unexpected Seiko Bond watch. Mm-hmm. Though less a tuxedo watch.
Yeah.
A 46 millimeter ceramic bezel. But, you know, pretty cool. Pretty cool, nevertheless.
All right, let's shift gears here a little bit. There's a couple of interesting ones that I wanted to get to. Dirty Harry. Here you go.
Oh, geez.
That's not the movie that we're talking about, though.
I was going to say Clint Eastwood also famous for the Rolex he wears. Or the Rolex he wears is famous because he wore it with the root beer.
Yeah.
Okay, he says, I know it's not a recast, but what would Forrest Gump have worn if he had a watch? Did you guys think about this?
I did think about this. I think it really depends on what era Forrest Gump you're talking about. I think about the era of Forrest Gump when he's running across America back and forth and the Timex Iron Man.
I was literally... Word for word, what I would have said. Yeah,
that also feels like a watch that he would have kept just wearing.
Yeah, I don't think Forrest Gump
is polo tucked into khakis with the Iron Man.
Well, isn't he? Absolutely. He's wearing running sneakers, with right? Like on the bench, right?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
So yeah, he definitely would have still had that on.
Yeah. Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
What about you? Do you have any? That's what you.
I was thinking that, quite genuinely. Like, I mean, yeah, you could talk about the earlier years, but I feel like that's more of the kind of like when you're picturing Tom Hanks. At least when I'm picturing him, it's. Because he's narrating from that era, right? Like,
yeah. Somebody else mentioned Tom Hanks in here.
How would you cast? Are you agreeing? You're disagreeing?
No, I'm agreeing with that. I think that's good.
Yeah.
The Iron Man, that makes sense to me. But boy, destiny. I'm calling you out right here. I'm putting you on blast. Give Tom Hanks a new watch in Apollo 13. What's the matter with you?
It's impossible. Historic characters are, you can't recast.
Yeah. Sorry, dude. All right. So another interesting one is, Arnold in Kindergarten Cop wearing the lesser known Arnie Seiko. So there you go. So maybe all Arnold Schwarzenegger movies are in the same universe. So he's just still wearing.
I think that's
a
theory that needs to
be
Predator. Explored. Yeah,
Arnold from Predator is the same Arnold in Kindergarten Cop.
I think that's
and then transitions into like married life as a dad into True Lies.
Yep.
Right. Okay. There's a thread here. I think that you could maybe pull. Maybe the Terminator.
Well, he's wearing. So he's wearing a Casio in that film.
Is he wearing a watch in that movie?
I mean, a quick search brings up a Casio AM. W320R, a sort of champagne dialed Anadigi diver.
Oh, look at that. So it kind of is. It's an Anadigi Seiko. Or it's not
Casio.
Seiko. It's
Casio.
A Casio. Okay.
This is, I'm literally looking this up right now if I'm entirely wrong, but blame Google for this. But yeah, you know, that's a movie. I remember seeing that in the theater when it came out, whenever that was, as a child, because it was like, it's going to be funny. It's a funny movie with Arnold. And kids, and then it's another like, but I guess movies of that era just kind of were that way, where they're like sneaky, dark, and kind of upsetting.
Yes,
and like that, like the scary dad who takes the kid, and is there drugs in that as well? I do not remember the plot. I think I haven't seen it since a little kid. It's a little bit of one of those movies that traumatized me a bit.
Yes, you're right. There was some disturbing parts of that child abduction type stuff, and that was a thing with movies back then. I don't know how closely this was to. You remember this movie? This would be another one to actually cast a watch in. Last Action Hero.
Oh, sure.
That
shit scared me, man. The bad guy with the
axe. I walked by that actor on the street once a few years ago.
Did you?
I was just like, he's often played kind of scary characters. I forget his name, but he's a good actor. But yeah.
That movie was a trip.
Underappreciated.
Yeah, low-key kind of creepy.
Yeah. And that whole movie is like... What is going on here?
And the guy who's in Game of Thrones, I don't know the actor's name, but he has the eyes, the like the glass eye that
the
is
eye
like
that comes out.
Yeah, and he has like little things in it.
Yeah, forgot about
like little like face.
There's like little emojis in the eye.
Yeah, yeah, forgot about that.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a creepy movie. Yeah. What the fuck, Arnold? Oh, got that. But, WTF, Arnold? Yeah. So,
what would Arnold have worn in that movie, though? Something completely outlandish and ridiculous, surely. But in that universe, Sylvester Stallone is the Terminator. By the way,
so, why is Sylvester Stallone the Terminator in that?
Remember, he walks into the movie into the rental place.
In Last Action Hero, I thought it was on Kindergarten Cop. Yeah, I was confused.
Yeah, it's still one universe. I'm confused. Yeah.
Maybe somebody else suggested actually a watch for
we're
Arnold.
We're just talking about movies at this
point. So for Arnold in Predator, the Richard Mille 2501, which is that like $1 million Sylvester Stallone with like the compass and the
water purification tablet.
Pills, all kinds of crazy jam in there. Like
that watch just makes sense for anyone.
Yeah,
out in the woods, I think. Fighting an alien.
That might make sense on his wrist in Last Action Hero as well. Nobody.
And Kindergarten Cop.
And
I mean, definitely the water filtration pills, particular.
It's practical, no matter how you slice it.
I don't know. If I were to play Devil's Advocate, I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, whatever. This is fun. But like, I feel like would the super soldier that is Arnold in Predator need all of that stuff? You know.
He just gets by on his own wits.
Yeah. Right? He could have, like, a two-hand watch.
Yeah.
And, like, no, you know, use that as a compass.
He doesn't need to know the precise time.
He doesn't even need to know time.
Yeah.
But he wears a great watch in that movie.
He just puts a stick in the ground and makes, like, a, you know, a compass. That's what it's called.
He takes down the Predator, right? Like,
yeah.
He's just fine, okay? He's fine.
It's funny that Kindergarten Cop disturbed you. But Predator apparently did it. Predator has some like truly horrifying gore.
I don't know if I watched that at that age, but I very well might have. Predator 2, I definitely saw well before Predator 1.
Predator 2 was Predator in the City, right? That's
Danny Glover.
Yeah, and it's really gory and messed up too, but it's like, it's kind of silly, a little sillier perhaps.
They have definitely, to watch that. Yeah, you know? In the jungle is like straight up like,
it's a survival horror
suspenseful
movie.
Survival. Oh, man.
Yeah, with disembowelments and just all kinds of wholesome family fun.
There's disembowelment in the second one, too, I think. When Gary Busey.
It's a hallmark of the franchise. Yeah.
Gary Busey meets a grisly end in that one, remember? When he's in that, he's in like the frozen meat packing thing and he throws that like giant frisbee with the blades that come out of the ends.
There's a great clip been a while since that resurfaced.
Spoiler alert, by the way.
This is completely unrelated to watches, but I really want to link it in the show notes. There's a great clip of Busey talking about Predator, doing publicity for it, where he like just looks so stone cold serious, describing the plot of the movie. It's absolutely hysterical.
He's a serious man.
He's very something. Serious.
Yeah. Okay. We're gonna move on to B. Bam Baron. Who asks, Chris Moltisanti in The Sopranos, Philip / Stan / Oleg in The Americans. I've not watched any of those. I'm going to defer to the Zachs.
So I thought about this in terms of the Chris Moltisanti in The Sopranos. Mm-hmm. I have not seen The Americans, so I can't really comment on that. But I'm a big Sopranos fan. Chris Moltisanti, for much of the series, wears a Cartier Pasha, which I think is actually a really good watch for that character, kind of like a, you know, he plays a mobster, you know, mm-hmm. and kind of like a young, like up and coming mobster who sort of like accumulates wealth and status, like as the series progresses, and also has like, you know, drug problems and like many personal failings.
Sure.
He's not a great guy.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think the Pasha is like the right kind of flashy watch for that mm-hmm. character. But another watch that I think about quite a bit, the Zenith Defy Extreme. I think for this time period, the early 2000s, when The Sopranos takes place, someone wanting to convey, you know, like status or wealth or power, like that big gaudy watch, I think makes sense for a young up and coming mafia guy like Chris Moltisanti.
Wearing a Zenith Defy Extreme is the ultimate power move. no matter who you are.
For a certain kind of like New Jersey, like, you know, mob creature, I think it definitely was at that period of time.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, I mean, like something bombastic. So like that, I mean, like, you know, an hublot, same effect,
you know.
A big gold Panerai or something with diamonds on it. It's all that kind of like flash is the key. I have seen The Americans. I haven't seen every season. It's something I need to get back to, but you know, Philip's one of the main characters, and him and Carrie Russell, who's his wife in it, are spies, Russian spies and assassins, and they're pretty complicated characters, but you know, they have to get by as just like very normal folks, just like middle class Americans and two houses and raising a daughter and whatever, and like they can't, you know, obviously raise suspicion. So like a watch that would obviously, it would have to suit that kind of thing. And this is, I mean, I don't remember what years it takes place, but it's Cold War era. I don't know. I mean, it could be, I think they own a travel agency. So I'd go with, yeah, probably like a Rolex Datejust or something like that. Like, like something that would say you would do well, but it's not overly flashy. It's not drawing attention.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. I don't, for all I know, that could be what he wears. Like, maybe that's not a recast.
Yeah.
Just a cast.
All right, so we're going to move on to GMT Chrono Dive. I like this one because I've thought about this before, actually. Doctor Strange, give that surgeon something more practical. So my thing with this is the character, right? Like, the character is, and think about who he is Doctor Strange, pre-magic man.
Spiritual awakening.
Pre-spiritual awakening. He's bombastic. He's overly confident. He's self-indulgent. He drives a Lamborghini Huracan. I almost said Gallardo. Wow. Huracan. So that's like, you're driving that car around. He's going real fast. He's you know, and then he gets in that crash. But the watch that he's wearing is a very dignified, like classy Jaeger-LeCoultre triple calendar, I think.
I don't remember.
Like, it's like a, you know, like a slim, small, like gold Jaeger-LeCoultre, which is like then a part, like it keeps him grounded to like who he is, right? Like he comes back to it like later.
Oh, is it like broken and he looks at it kind of thing?
Yeah.
It's given back to him by whoever his romantic interest is.
But he's like almost mugged for it or something, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I've
seen this movie exactly once, as you can tell. And I don't have a strong memory.
So before we like butcher the movie any further, but his character, I felt like now he'd have something flashier than that.
I think so, something to match the Lamborghini for sure.
Yeah,
and you know, like JLC makes all kinds of like, you know, extremely like complicated tourbillons and, you know, and other things.
But I would say like they're very demure, right? And I think he would want something that was more like oomph, that had more oomph to it. And so I was thinking, you know, like a like some kind of Hublot or even I don't know, like maybe one of the flasher Panerais or something like that that just kind of would stand out a little bit and kind of say to people like, I have, you know, I have some money and I'm good at what I do. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't have an exact answer in my head, but I feel like I'm trying to go that direction that you're kind of setting up. I feel like Panerai was almost too vintage for him. Like, he wouldn't drive that car. I mean, whatever. He could do both. But I think it would be more in the line of an hublot, but it might not be hublot. Like,
maybe like an MB&F or something.
Yeah.
Like really out there. MB&F.
Yeah. Yeah, like the Evo Perpetual or something, right? Like,
I think you just nailed it. Yeah. Like an LM Perpetual calendar, maybe the Evo version. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So there you go. Yeah. But
so there you go.
It's not more practical than than the triple calendar.
Oh,
DLC.
So we didn't
like,
answer
give that
the
man
question
something
at
more
all.
Practical. Like, you know, sure, a surgeon should probably have something maybe more practical, but
they don't. I don't think
they
wear a watch
in that
while
movie.
Performing surgery.
Are you a surgeon? And do you use a watch during surgery?
Gives under the cuff
know.
A whole new.
Maybe he means more practical in terms of his like wizarding duties and not.
Oh, okay.
His doctor.
It's true.
Duties.
Well, he has the time stone. Once you have the time stone, I'm like, what
that's
is
true.
A watch?
Yeah,
well, it's like the ultimate.
Yeah.
You know,
he can just change. Like,
okay, then so. Yeah, that got real deep. Real quick. He has the time. What is a watch if you have
the time
stone?
Time stone.
Yeah. Okay. GMT Chrono Dive, thank you for that. I like that. We're gonna move to Chase Goldthrow. Vintage affordable youth watches for each of the characters in Stand By Me.
That's a lot of characters.
Thumbs up.
Yeah. So as we determined, you have no idea what the movie is. You thought it was Lost
Boys. There's no vampires in this movie. Just a heads up if you were confused at all.
Zach has seen it most recently, I believe.
Yeah, so this is a... and I haven't seen it recently. Like it's been at least a few years since I've seen or thought about Stand By Me. So this is an 80s movie that looks back. Is it the 50s or 60s that the movie takes?
Yeah, I don't remember. But that era, for sure.
You know, like certainly like... I would think Timex, Hamilton, other American brands would have been making.
Ben Roos. I've seen kind of
like boys' size watches, you know, that you sometimes see like pop up on.
Were there like Boy Scout watches that people in that era had? I feel like they could have. Like they're very typical American, like suburb kind of kids, right?
That's if memory serves.
And then they find a body and they're, traumatized for life.
They find the body. Okay, now it's all coming back.
And the vampires come and get them. Remember?
Okay,
Apologies to Stand By Me.
Yeah.
Hey, it's got the same guy in it, right?
I was going to say Kiefer in Lost Boys was something I was thinking about the other day because he's like kind of like a, I don't know, almost like a hair metal vampire. Yeah, but I have no idea.
He's hardcore, right? Yeah. And the Lost Boys. I haven't seen that.
He's a creature of the night. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was too scary for me when I was a kid.
So I love that movie. My older sister watched that, and therefore I watched it, and it was so good.
I don't know, man. Those movies leave an impression. I'll tell you, my kid, Liam, he acts brave. Like, I can watch the scary stuff. But then it comes time to bedtime. He's like, I shouldn't have. I wish I didn't watch that movie. And then it's like a week of like sleeping problems. all right. So let's see here. There's one that I want to. Okay. So the last one, I'm saving the best one for last. Integrated bracelet just says Michael Scott.
So,
does he wear a watch in the office that they show?
I don't know. He must be wearing a watch.
He absolutely wears watches on the show.
Okay, so my thinking was, what's the... See, now I can't say a pick because it would be too insulting to a watch brand. Yeah. I was thinking, what's the PT Cruiser of watches?
Or they're a lot like of people love PT Cruisers.
Okay, well, you know, okay.
We just don't.
Okay, yeah. Apologies to PT Cruiser owners out there. What's the other thing? The Chrysler Sebring convertible. But they're like corporate cars, or people think they're corporate cars, but the joke is he actually bought
So I mean I have a pick.
Okay.
Which will probably insult people too. But I think he would have the money to go and buy something fairly nice. And he would know, like, he'd go to the mall to get it, and he would know enough about brand names from like whatever walking around to like want something flashy that people would know. But I don't know if he can read time. Is my question.
Yeah. Okay.
So it would be like a Breitling Avenger Anadigi.
Okay. Yeah.
So you can get away with not knowing how to actually read it because the time is digital still.
That's a good pick.
Yeah.
I still think it might be too complicated.
Maybe.
But that's a good pick.
Well, not the one that you, if you push a button, it like calls like copters and whatever.
Yeah. Don't give them the emergency.
Yeah.
That's a bad idea.
Did you have a pick for this one, Zach?
So. I don't have a pick, but I just want to make sure that we're all aware that there's a great joke in The Office. It's like an ongoing sight gag that through multiple seasons at least, whenever you see Michael, you know, sitting at his desk in that talking head, interview, there's a certificate in the background that says certificate of authenticity. This certifies that Michael Scott is the proud owner of a quality Seiko timepiece.
No way!
But Seiko is spelled S-E-Y-K-O.
Oh my God. Weird.
Yeah.
Okay. That is such a bizarre...
So clearly...
I don't even get the joke there.
It's absurd, but clearly he's the owner.
The joke that he bought a fake
Seiko
that came with a certificate.
He bought a counterfeit Seiko.
Or was it a production thing of like, we can't actually...
And then he put it on his wall like a diploma.
Because he's proud of it. He thinks it's a... Yeah. So...
I love that.
Okay. I think he's a Seiko guy.
All right.
Or a wannabe Seiko.
A fake Seiko. Okay. But I feel like he's the kind of guy that would go like be proud of his, like, he's proud of the thing.
He's proud of everything.
He's proud of his articulating flat screen TV.
Yep.
Right? He's very proud of it.
Just stand here and watch.
He's proud of he's proud of his car.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's good. I love it. I was thinking like a Belova or something like that. Like nothing against Belova,
wow,
but like,
wow, no.
You know, like when you go into a mall, because this is a guy that goes to like Sbarro to eat the pizza in New York.
Best pizza.
In his mind, this is like the greatest brand. Like, you know, this is like a really high quality, top notch brand. And I like your Belova a lot. But you know, like that maybe is like the limit of his knowledge on the subject, because he like saw commercials or like saw it in a mall or something like that.
So, oh,
like,
definitely. This watch was 100% purchased in a mall for sure. Whatever watch he's wearing.
Okay. I'm sorry, Belova. I'm sorry. Caitlin, if you're listening. Don't know what I mean. Oh my God. Okay. So now we'll go to, we each picked one, right?
Okay.
So now we're going to go to ours. Zach Kazan, let's start with you.
What are we doing? A recap?
We do our own, our own recap.
So here's my idea. In Wolf of Wall Street, Leonardo DiCaprio is wearing multiple gold or diamond encrusted Tag Heuers. He's wearing these watches because he's a brand ambassador, or was for Tag Heuer at the time. But that character would absolutely not be wearing Tag Heuers, and they specifically, I believe, chose Tag Heuers that looked like more expensive Rolex equivalents. To kind of at a glance, you wouldn't necessarily realize it's a Tag Heuer. So, big time fail in my opinion on the watch selections in that movie. So I would just put him in a solid gold President or something.
I was just gonna say a Baguette Dial Day. Yeah, 100% is what he's wearing.
Definitely.
Not Daytona.
Not a Daytona.
But yeah, I mean, it's definitely all gold. It's definitely Rolex too. I mean, I forgot the name of the guy that's based on
Jordan
Belfort. Yeah. So there hasn't been like a look at his watch collection yet on the internet. I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure it'll be.
You get on that internet.
Yeah. Jeez. Dear internet. Yeah. They can't do that for us.
Perfect. By the way, I'm gonna go next because it's the same. not the same movie, it's the same person.
That's cheating. That's cheating.
But it's what's his name? Leonardo DiCaprio as Cobb in Inception.
Yeah.
Who's also wearing a Tag Heuer Carrera, a time only Carrera, though. And it gets like extreme close ups in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But my thinking is like he's doing all kinds of like the time is like slowing down. Did they experience time is slowing down when they're in like
that's what I love about that movie, obviously, for everyone knows, but like the concept of the time dilation and how like crazy that goes. But like I do like the idea of he would have to know, because they have to sync these things together, and it's like 2 seconds here, 20 minutes there, 40 days there. So like something that could kind of in some way track those events to line up all at once.
Yeah. And this is what I was going to say.
Which I don't know what that is, but I mean a triple split longue, but I don't know, or something, just because it's got all the, but I don't think you can do quite the right timing for that, you know?
No, I think, he would definitely be wearing something with at least like a timing bezel. Or a chronograph.
It would need to be able to track as much elapsed time
like,
as possible.
This has none of that stuff, right? And like in the beginning, when they kick him into that bathtub, and you know they like slow mo going down, and they like show the watch like the second hand slowly ticking away, right? And you know, I like he's a well dressed character. He goes to like fancy things in the dreams. Can he control what he's wearing in the dreams?
He can, it's a lucid dream. You control everything.
Yeah.
That's how my lucid dreams work.
Yeah.
I'm always wearing a tux.
Yeah.
Very well dressed.
Yeah. So he's definitely like wearing something.
And Leonardo DiCaprio.
So he's wearing something definitely fancier than the, no offense to Tag Heuer, like fancier than the Tag Heuer Carrera. Mm-hmm. Like minimally, he'd be wearing a Carrera chronograph or some kind of like full calendar type watch. But it would have to be like dressy enough.
I think he could be a Jaeger, you know, candidate of some kind, like Duometry chronographs or something like that.
Yeah, that's exactly where my head went. That new triple calendar Jaeger.
Yeah, very.
Well, I think it would be perfect for him. Like it can, you know, it's got all the timing things, right? And
all the stuff for time.
And it doesn't have screw down pushers.
Yeah.
So it's practical, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
This is turning into a great bit, by the way. Yeah,
if anybody, I mean, as you said, he's getting kicked into a tub. He doesn't want the restrictions of a screw down pusher when he's falling in. Yeah. It's got to have water resistance.
He's got to act fast. But why aren't they using their watches? They put the things on to like hear the music. Why don't they just like sync up their watches beforehand? They did this
mystery
in Tenet.
For the ages.
We need to get Chris Nolan on the pod.
Chris Nolan
to explain.
You just yell at us. You like, you guys don't get
idiots.
It. Get out. Of your own podcast,
don't
leave.
Okay. Is he dreaming at the end? I don't know. All right, Zach. What watch should Leonardo DiCaprio be wearing?
Yeah, right. What watch would have fit on the plank in Titanic? No. No, I was not thinking Leonardo DiCaprio, but I was. So I have two. I keep going between them. So maybe I'll throw a bonus one on there.
Okay.
Because one is an actor that's already been named. So you talked about Al Pacino in Heat, but I was thinking of Al Pacino as Satan in Devil's Advocate.
Oh.
As a high-powered New York lawyer version of Satan.
High-powered Satan.
Yeah.
who's a New York lawyer.
I mean, it's a great character, a very stylish character, over-the-top Al Pacino at his max, you know. With Keanu, there's a lot of great characters in here. I mean, you could probably cast the movie. I imagine they are wearing watches. I very quickly searched. I did not find anything for... Probably nobody really wanted to have the watch on Satan's wrist, per se.
That could be
a little bit tough. But like, I don't know. It's a hell of a character, quite literally.
Ooh,
wow. Pun, wow. Unintentional pun. And a dad joke in one.
Josh Jenkins said over there.
The world cringed. So I'm not sure where you go. But I mean, it's in that... I feel like... You know, it could be, it's something flashy, expensive, but at the same time, he sort of hides who he is. He also hides as well. Like, he's sort of mysterious. So I feel like it's high end. Maybe it's not flashy.
But not
so
ostentatious.
It's not ostentatious. It could be a little sinister in its appearance. I mean, he is the devil after all. And then he is like his decor of like that room he has that they go into, like in his, the penthouse of this building has this like crazy mosaic, which is actually a portal to hell behind it.
Of course, that's what you need in your office if you're a high-powered Manhattan lawyer.
Yeah. So far, nothing's weird here. I don't know. I honestly didn't get quite far. I didn't make a decision on this.
So something, can I say what comes to mind immediately for me is a watch with like an engraved case, something like really opulent. Like the Patek Philippe Grandmaster chime is probably like too flashy for him, but like it's certainly like priced right for that character.
Yeah,
and it has that like that beautiful engraved case, but it's probably not stealth enough for Satan himself.
Yeah,
and definitely not a rainbow Daytona.
Definitely.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. But yeah, no, I think. Yeah, I think something kind of old world also kind of makes sense that it would have a classic. So, you know, maybe it's, I mean, it's like a Patek. I don't know if like, I don't know, just like Breguet has some interesting mix of high end, like high tech with like post or like traditional style. Like if there was like a black ceramic neoclassical Breguet or something like that, you know?
What was it? Steve had on a black platinum. Watch
right
the other day. That's
what the hell
is that? Right?
Never even heard of that. That's wild.
It was an Urwerk, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, it would be a black platinum watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. Okay, so that was one character.
Okay.
The other one, and once I haven't actually thought of watches for these. And this one, shout out to Rob Velasquez, because he actually, I think I had a conversation with him. I feel like he might have even started our conversation that led to this. Ferris Bueller.
Ferris
kind of fun.
Bueller.
Kind of fun. Oddly dressed, you know. I don't think I need to rehash Ferris Bueller, but I did look it up. He's not really wearing a watch. Mia Sara, the female character, that's the actress. She's wearing a Cartier Tank in that movie, which is interesting. Okay. But yeah, in my opinion, I go to like he'd be wearing something that maybe like he took out of like his dad's sock drawer when he wasn't knowing, and is like unintentionally very stylish. And probably vintage, probably like he wore through the strap, so it's tied on with a ribbon or something. It's like very unintentional, but like super cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, but it, yeah, some he's just living it up, right? So he that's yeah. just part of the thing. He's got to get like a great watch. He knows yeah. his dad. Yeah.
Maybe it's like a bubble pack or something.
Oh, okay,
like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Being interesting. Yeah. It's kind of small. I don't know.
Yeah, I like this.
Yeah, or just like a Rolex date or you know yeah. precision or something like a yeah,
timeless.
Yeah, timeless I was yeah, classic. I was gonna say like a vintage Hoyer. Carrera or something, you know, with like a Nina Rint or something, like something like sporty but stylish and like effortlessly stylish, like in a way that he wouldn't yeah. know to, that it was
or if it was I mean or if it was like a watch. Now I'm thinking like what were the Hoyer's those dive watches that everyone likes that kind of look they kind of sub like but they're not subs. What were they called?
The Aqua Racer?
No, something 300. I don't know. They had like a Mercedes hand. And
oh,
like,
the quartz like, ones.
Yeah.
Back in the day. Yeah.
Because wait, that movie was 80s, mid 80s.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was like, I think like what would his, he also could be wearing a watch like his parents gave him for his 16th birthday
yeah.
or something
yeah.
like that, you know?
Yeah, that'd be a good one. Hmm. Well, yeah. I'm sure if you're listening to this, you're probably like shouting into, well, wherever you are right now, thinking like having good ideas for what we're saying, we would love to hear them from you. And we will probably revisit this theme at some point down the line.
This is fun.
This is a lot of fun. Right?
Well, there'll be more than just Al Pacino and Leonardo DiCaprio and Arnold in the next one.
Yes, yes, we promise. We thought of this, just yesterday, and then we put the call out on Instagram.
I mean,
so.
We didn't even get to a Harrison Ford.
And we didn't get to a Harrison Ford.
Fugitive Harrison Ford, in India Harrison Ford.
Oh, yeah.
We lots could, of
yeah,
Harrison
we
Fords.
Could do a we whole Harrison Ford focused
yeah.
episode of Han Solo.
Yeah. Another year.
Maybe that's all a shared universe, and he's playing the same character.
Han Solo and Indy are the same.
It's the same
person.
It's the same.
I don't think that makes any sense.
He can be frozen.
He was frozen in Star Wars. Yeah,
long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. How would they get? How would he get there?
He had a brief run-in with the law for wrongful murder conviction, and cleared that up, and then on his way, he went.
He shot first. So.
And then he shot all right, yeah, you let us know out there what movie goes well and has a character that does well with the watch that they are given, and what movie could use a tweak. Or what's your favorite movie character, and what watch would you put them, him or her, in? Let us know, and thank you so much for listening. Until next time. Bye.